Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you. You cannot buy peace. You cannot buy this. Amen. And I've been there. I've been there when young people were dying. I've been there when old people were dying. And I've been there with people that hoped they wasn't dying. But how wonderful it was for those that I was with to have that holy peace in their life. But you don't get it just at the point of death. You get it at the place where you're living right now. And we're so thankful today to be able to live and to have God living inside of us. Amen. What a joy to have you in the house of the Lord today. We're so blessed, everyone that is here, precious people of God that has come this morning to give God honor and praise. Amen. We welcome our guests. Good to have the Sellers with us. Amen. Good to see them. Amen. From the Garden of Eden, right? Eden, Texas. Amen. Where blue bonnets and Indian paintbrushes are just beautiful this time of the year. We're so blessed. And I guess we just say San Angelo area. Amen. We're so honored that you're with us today. Amen. Always, always. Amen. So good to have other guests with us. Peanut, good to have somebody with you today, a friend of yours. Amen. That has come to worship the Lord with us today. Amen. Brother Mike Phillips called me. Said, Brother Crosswhite, I am so sick. He said, I don't think I can come to Nacogdoches. So Brother Phillips will not be in service, of course, today. Amen. Pastor will be preaching this morning and tonight. Amen. But we're so blessed to be right here where I'm at today. Praise God. Amen. And our youth class, we'll have a class this morning, and we want you to enjoy your class. You may be dismissed. Amen. Normally, we have a guest minister, such as next week. Amen. Our youth class will be in the sanctuary, and we're so blessed. I'm telling you, so blessed what God is doing. If you have your Bible today, would like to turn with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter. I'm so grateful for the blessings of the word of the Lord, the goodness of God, the hand of God's protection today, and just the way that God speaks and the way God ministers. Amen. God don't leave us out. Amen. God has not left us out, but he has so much for us. Sometimes we leave ourselves out. Amen. And I'm glad to be part of God's kingdom. Matthew, the 7th chapter. While you're turning there, I don't want to be like the man and the woman that saved their money to go on a cruise. And probably about the third day of that four-day cruise, I mean, they've been in their little cabin, and because they saved a lot of money, and they thought, you know, it costs us a big amount to come. We're going to be conservative, and they had little snacks. I mean, Vienna sausage, crackers, cheese, all that in their suitcase. And they would just jump. They said, you know, on the last day of the cruise, we're going to go eat. We think we could afford. So they went and ate. And when they got on at the table and they served them their meals and stuff, the man kept, he looked at the person and said, where's our ticket at? Where's for our meal? We want to pay for our meal. And one of the servers said, sir, you don't have to pay for your meal. You pay for that with your ticket. How many of us the same way sometimes don't realize it's already been paid for? We have the right to come boldly to the throne of grace. Our problem is we just don't do it. I'm glad today that it's been paid for. Look at your neighbors. It's paid for. Don't miss out. Don't deprive yourself. Amen. I'm glad to be part of God's kingdom. Amen. The ticket's already purchased for us when we walk with him and get on board and stay on board. Hallelujah. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 24, familiar passage of scripture, but powerful. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and, somebody say it, doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And look what happened. And the rain descended, and the flood came, And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And I like to repeat that last part, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now I want you to get the whole deal here. The difference between a life built on obedience, the difference is a life built on the obedience and a life built on appearances. Both houses had an appearance of being a house, but one of them had a foundation. Amen. The foundation makes a difference, doesn't it? Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for the foundation. Thank you for the goodness of your spirit. Thank you for your blessings today. Minister to us, oh God. And Lord, I pray for the challenge of your spirit this morning in this service. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. You may be seated. God bless you for standing. I want to talk to you today from this title, Built to Last. Built to Last. When you build upon the rock, it's built to last. We find this in Matthew. Jesus, I want you to note with me, we hear the story about the house on the rock and the house on the sand. And I can remember in children's church as a boy, in Sunday school classes, the Sunday school teacher and the different ones that were working there would sing the little song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock." And I can remember all that as a kid. And then the rain came down and the floods came and the house on the rock. And then we talked about the house on the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the sand. One standing and one went splat. You know, we went through all that little singing and all that through the years as a child, and it was put in me, I better build my house on the rock. And there's a lot of people hear that, they understand that. But I want to get to that place that Jesus said this, in order to build your house upon the rock, you got to be a doer. He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is going to be the man like the rock. You can't just automatically say, well, you know, my house is on the rock, without doing the sayings of Jesus Christ. Hearing is not enough. Many hear sermons, they read scriptures, and they quote Jesus, but that's not what secures the foundation. Obedience is the key. Application of God's word in real life. So the real is the doing here. In order to build your house upon something that will last forever, is the doing. What's he talking about doing? Hearing these sayings. What sayings is Jesus talking about? If you look and search and you look back after before chapter 7, you'll find in Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus leads his disciples away from the multitudes. And he leads them on a mountain. And he begins to what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. And what does the Sermon on the Mount talk about? First of all, it was the Beatitudes. And I can remember in Sunday school class too about the Beatitudes. And be poor in spirit. Mourn over sin. Do you know that the Bible says, blessed are they that mourn? Doesn't mean just when somebody dies. It means when somebody is mournful of their sinful past. We're in an hour where people don't mourn over sin. They just hope they don't get caught. But friend, you better be sorry for your sins. Sin still displeases God. We need to mourn over our sin. It ought to be a tragedy, amen, that we look back at our life and said, we can't make it without the grace of God. I need God's grace and goodness. But grace is more than a free ticket out of hell. Grace is the goodness of God, the gift of God that you have to apply in your life. It's kind of like deodorant. There's some people go without deodorant. You could tell. You got to apply it for it to work. Amen. Toothpaste has to be applied. Soap has to be used. And the word of God has to be applied. Somebody say amen now. Amen. And not only did he talk about mourning our sinful past and sins in our life, but be meek. That word meek doesn't mean weak. It means to be submissive to God. Amen. Be meek. He also says we need a hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is what Jesus is saying that we got to do in order to build a foundation on the rock. He said, we got a hunger and thirst for righteousness. We live in an hour where people don't want the righteousness of God. Amen. They don't want to hunger for the things of God. Amen. Oh, friend, I think that you come to the house of God, and I hope you have an appetite for the things of God. Amen. God feeds according to your appetite. There's some people that, have you ever seen somebody that just filled up on candy and junk food? And when it came time to eat, especially a teenager, I mean, they didn't want to eat what was good for them because they had been filling up on junk. Amen. I want to tell somebody today, I don't want to fill up on the junk of this world. I want the things of God. I want to hunger after God. Amen. And just the other day, I got so busy. And I mean, and we had just ran. I mean, from morning I got up and I ran all day long. And I caught myself about 10 o'clock that night when I finally was able to stop. I said, you know, I hadn't eaten not one thing today. And I just wasn't hungry. I was hungry. Somebody used the word hangry. You ever been hangry before? I mean, you couldn't think anything else but to get something. Amen. Today, I want to be that person that is hangry and hungry for the things of God. I want an appetite for the things of godliness. I want an appetite for the right of God. Amen. The things of his righteousness. Amen. That's what Jesus is teaching in the Beatitudes. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you got to have a hunger and thirst. What about your hunger today? Are you the type of person that's not hungry? You need to pray, God, give me a driving appetite. Give me a hunger for your presence and a hunger for your grace, but a hunger to do your word. Everybody wants the hand of God in their life. They want God's blessing. Amen. They don't want curse in their life. They want God to pat them on the back, but they don't want to hunger for the things of God. They don't want to hunger for his righteousness to do right in their life. I want to hunger for his righteousness and thirst. Jesus also began to talk about being merciful. He talked about the pure in the heart. He talked about peacemakers. But these things he just didn't talk about and just throw out there. He said, you got to do them. You got to put them in order. When you do, you're going to be like a wise man that builds his house upon the rock. He talks about rejoicing in persecution for righteousness' sake. Amen. Oh, he goes through all these different things. He said, we need to be the salt and the light in our hour. Amen. If salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. Look at your neighbor and ask him, do you still have the salt inside of you? Do you still have the goods inside of you? Do you still have something in that makes a difference in your life? Man, I don't want to be the saltless individual or the person whose salt has lost its ability. Amen. He talked about let your light shine before men that they may glorify your Father. He goes on to talk about a heart of righteousness over external religion. I just don't want religion. I want the Holy Ghost inside of me. Amen. I just don't want to have that just come to church look. I don't want to just have the uniform, but I want to be genuine on the inside. I want the power of God. Nobody likes a fake. Nobody likes a hypocrite. Amen. They want to see somebody that is real with God. Amen. Somebody that has truth inside of them. And friend, if anybody knows you, it's those that live amongst you. And the Lord began to speak to them. Amen. We need to be a light in this world. He had a heart of righteousness. He talks about some Old Testament commandments. He talks about do not murder. Don't be angry with your brother. And he goes deeper. Not only did he just talk about the Old Testament commandments, but he dug a little bit deeper. He said, just don't murder, but don't be angry with your brother. Don't commit adultery. That's Old Testament. But he said, don't even look towards that way. He said, don't swear falsely. Then he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Then he says, love your enemies. not just your friends. Man, these things Jesus is teaching. But he said they're no good, and they'll do you no good if you don't apply them. Spiritual disciples, Jesus was trying to make. He said, to be a disciple, you got to have discipline in you. And he gave some discipline. He said, you want the key here? You want the key to something that's going to be built forever? He said, give in secret. He said, you see the Pharisees, when they give where everybody can see what they're giving. They want everybody to know, look what I'm doing. They're trying to press. We're not doing that to impress anybody but Jesus Christ. We're not here to impress humanity. We're here to point to the Almighty God who's brought us out of darkness. He said, you want the key? Give in secret. And he keeps on talking. And he said, when you pray, you need to pray sincerely. You don't need to be the one that just gets out there in the street corner and pray, oh God, I'm so thankful I'm not like this sinner over here. That's what was happening in their generation. People were going around and saying, oh, look how great I am and look how sorry and no good. That. No, friend, not one of us deserves what we got in Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for the goodness of the Lord? Jesus is teaching us that we need to observe ourselves. We need to apply some things inside of us. He taught the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And he said, we need to fast without seeking attention. He said, when the Pharisees would fast, they would put stuff all over their face and they would dress in these long rags and they'd walk around with such a sad face. And, you know, they would go around, poor me, look, and I'm fasting. Everybody knew they were fasting. He said, you want the key to building your life on the rock? Don't do it for show. God's not in the show business. God's in the doing business. Amen. God's looking for somebody to do his will, to do his work. And Jesus begins to teach and begins to pound some things inside of them. He said, we need to trust God and seek his kingdom. First, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about your life, he's telling them. Seek first the kingdom of God, and don't stop there. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. You know what? My righteousness don't count. Hell's going to be for good people. Heaven's not for good people. Heaven's for redeemed people. Amen. Who found the key in their life and said, God, it's not my goodness, but it's your goodness I need. Amen. It's when somebody comes to that place and they realize how beautiful and how important it is to have Jesus on the inside and have his word living on the inside. Praise God. The next thing Jesus begins to talk about in the Sermon on the Mount, he says we need to judge carefully and humble ourselves. Judge not hypocritically. He said, remove the plank from your own eyes before you judge. He said, there's a lot of people judge others, but they don't take time to look at themselves in the mirror. This is something we've got to do in order to build upon the rock. Next thing he said, when you pray, depend on God through your prayer. Prayer is not just a wish list, but prayer is asking, seeking, and knocking. Trust that your Father has good gifts and gives good gifts. I'm glad that when I pray, amen, I have a God who answers specific prayers. A God who still, when I pray, hears my call, hears my, and he wants to hear from you today. The reason why some people don't hear from God, because God don't hear from them. You got to be a doer of this. You got to put it out there. You know the biggest battle that we battle in our prayer? Anybody know, you know what it is? Condemnation. Condemnation already in church today tells you, look what you did this week. Look what you said this week. You spoke your mind to your spouse. And I mean, you piped off to your spouse. And you're sitting next to her today in church. And here you are. And you know, you were wrong. And you know you were wrong. How can you worship God? She's going to look at you and call you a big old hypocrite. Condemnation wants to rob us. Condemnation is a thief. But I want to tell you today, all it takes is just letting God have his way and getting some things in order. Amen. In just a little bit of time, amen, God will intervene and God will help you. But our problem is we just don't do some things. Why is it that we skirt around from the easy way and we have to do it the hard way? Amen. Oh, friend, amen. I remember a little boy was supposed to get a spanking one day, and he turned around and looked, and he said, "Is it going to be hard or is it going to be easy?" Why is it we take the hard route? And we have to have the penalty. There are some people that they'll skirt around the easy path where God has already built the bridge, but yet they're bound, amen, and determined in their mind, "I don't want to go the easy way. I want the hard way." The hard way has consequences. The way of the transgressor, the Bible says, is hard. We know these things. Jesus is saying, you got to build up on the rock by doing these things. And then he talked about the golden rule. The golden rule. Anybody knows what the golden rule is? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Come on. The next thing Jesus said, you got to enter the narrow gate. The narrow path of obedience, not the broad way of destruction. Obedience is a narrow path. It's not a, maybe I'll do it. No. You got to have a definite in your life to build upon the rock of God. The next thing Jesus talked about, and the final things he talked about, was discernment and discern truth from false. I'll tell you how you do it. Amen. You stay up in the lamp of the Word of God and the light of God, and God will give you discernment. The light will tell you. The light will show you what is right. The light will keep you in the time where there are wishy-washy people. Amen. Hey, the light, the Spirit of the Word and God of the Word will be with you when you keep God number one and you build and you apply some things there. You start watching out. You'll notice that a tree bears forth good fruit. And you'll look for good fruit in a good situation. Not everybody who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of God. You're going to look at people instead of judging them for face value. You're going to look and say, "What kind of fruit are they bearing?" Because you know as well as myself, there are people that say things with their lips, but their lifestyle is so different. Jesus said, "Don't follow their lips, follow their fruit." Somebody say amen today. So the doers here, he said, when you hear and you do, you're going to build upon the rock. The rock represents Christ's words put into practice. You know, a life that is grounded in truth is going to stand in trials and temptations and the storms of life. James talked about it. He said, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Man, it's kind of like the little young couple. You know, they grew up together, and after about 25, 30 years of marriage, they're now getting in their 60s. And he went to his doctor, and he said, "Doc," he said, "you know, my wife is stubborn." He said, "I grew up with her. We got married young." And he said, "You know, we're going on 30-something years of marriage." He said, "I think she's going deaf, but she don't want to come to you and get, you know, her hearing checked. Is there something that I could do at home to, you know, to test her hearing?" He said, "Sure." He says, "The 30, the 20, and the 10 principle." He said, "Go home and do it." He said, "Get 30 feet away from her." And he said, "You say something to her. If she don't hear, go 20 feet. Say the same thing. And if she don't hear it, go 10 feet away from her. And say, if she don't hear it, she's got a hearing problem." So the man went home that evening and thought, "Man, I got a solution now. I'm going to prove to her that she's got a hearing problem." 30 feet away from her, he says, "Honey, what did you cook for supper?" And I mean, she didn't say anything. So he got 20 feet away from her. He called her by her name. He said, "Kelly," boy, I'm in trouble, "what did you cook for supper?" She didn't hear. I mean, he went 10 feet away. "Kelly, what did you fix for supper?" She still didn't say anything, so he got 5 feet away. He said, "Kelly, what did you cook for supper?" And she turns around and says, "Brent, I've told you 3 times meatloaf." As a lot of us are not hearing what God's wanting to give to us. Amen. We think that God has the hearing problem and everybody else has the hearing problem when it's us. I come to tell somebody today in the Holy Ghost, God's looking for somebody to say, God, right here, whatever it takes, I want to put some things in order. I got to build something to last. Amen. I got to have my life on the foundation. Hey, friend, we're not playing toys here with God. We're not playing a game with God. This thing is going to be forever. And God is serious about you making it. And want you to build your life on the rock. The foolish builder's mistake was he heard but did not do. He heard these things that was taught. The issue wasn't the structure here. Both men built. You're building something, folks. You're building either your life on something. You're building a structure called your life. But it wasn't a structure that was important. It was the foundation. Amen. Hear me today. When you build on the sand, sand represented disobedience. It represented conveniency or shallow faith. You know, people that has this great treasure, we shouldn't have a shallow relationship with God. Amen. Oh, friend, it's time to have something great in your life. Amen. There was no substance when trouble came. There was no substance when emotional highs begin to fade. They're the type of people, their life, amen, when the troubles come and the problems come in life, and when the emotional high fades, the house on the sand went splat. I don't want to be a splat. Even look at your friend, neighbor, somebody next to you, said, don't be a splat. God wants somebody to build on the rock of ages. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost ministering right now. Amen. Are you thankful that we have a rock? Amen. That will outstand even death itself. Amen. Death is no big deal to the saint of God. Amen. I'm thankful for the victory of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Death is not what you think. Amen. Death to some people is a hard thing. But to the saint of God, it's not death, but it's the enter into life eternal forever. More with Jesus Christ. Don't you want the rock in your life? Or do you want the sand? You got to be a doer. Christ-like character, humility, mercy, purity. We often excuse things in ourselves that we will not excuse in other people. You hear me? I said we often excuse things in ourselves that we wouldn't let anybody else buy with. Jesus is saying you need to check your own heart out. You need to look at the man in the mirror. If you go to hell, it won't be the devil. I asked an individual the other day, what is the devil to you? And they looked at me and they said, that, you know, that thing with horns with a pitchfork. And I thought, oh my. This was an individual. I mean, a grown individual with a college degree. They thought the devil was just a little thing with horns and a pitchfork. They didn't realize the devil's a fallen angel. The devil had it made till he sinned and he fell from the place with God. Jesus Christ didn't die for the fallen angels, but he died for fallen humanity. I'm thankful, friend, that Jesus died for you and I. You don't have to go to hell. But you got to be a doer. If you plan on making it, you're not just going to get there. You ain't going to just wake up and go, whoa, man, I made it. You ain't going to slide in a home. I hate to tell you that. Somebody ain't going to, you don't think, whoo, I just, man, I felt the gate behind. I hear that noise all the time. If you're going to make it to heaven, it's because you intentionally walked with God. You intentionally put some things in order. You didn't just build on the sand of life, but you built upon the rock. Amen. Oh, friend, righteous living goes beyond just rules. There's some people look at it as just a bunch of rules. There's no room. Amen. Oh, friend, because you're all ruled up. Amen. It's more than rules. It's my God's desire that I live right. And I want to follow him. And I want to put it in action. If he loves it, I need to love it. If he hates it, I want to hate it. Which side are you on today? Amen. Living righteous is living beyond the rules. There's no room for hidden anger and lust and deception. It's important that we deal with sin. Jesus is teaching that. Deal with sin. Deal with things when they come to you. Don't just think, oh, I'll just skirt it. It'll take care of itself. Sin doesn't take care of itself. I need amen this morning because you know I'm on the truth. Sin don't take care of itself. Amen. You got to take care of it or else it'll take care of you. Hallelujah. I come to tell this congregation today, amen, God is looking for people to be doers of his word. Amen. Oh, friend, a filthy heart and a filthy mind, a filthy mouth, amen, a filthy ideology and a filthy lifestyle is all because somebody didn't put something in order. Next thing Jesus began to hound on, he said, I want devotion to be genuine, secret, not just when you're in public. He said, I don't want a platform religion, spotlight religion. Just when you're on the platform, just when you're in the spotlight, just when you're in the crowd, you put on your little uniform. That's not what he's talking about. We're not here to impress. We're here to bless. Amen. To deal with self and sin. Amen. Hey, friend. Amen. I don't want to pretend it's all okay. Amen. When it's something eating on the inside of my soul, I want to be a doer. I want to put the things of God into practice. Amen. Hey, his kingdom. And it needs to be priorities. Friend, let your priority be kingdom priorities versus earthly priorities. Let me just say this. Earthly priorities will cause earthly worries. The more you got, the more worries you got. Amen. We're living in a world where, man, people want to fill their life full of junk. I got to have this. If we could get hungry for the things of God, like humanity is hungry for prestige, position, and possessions, we start doing something in life. I'm not telling you to take an oath where you just, an oath of poverty and just think, for me? No. I'm telling somebody, amen, don't let the things of this world overtake the things of God. Keep God number one in your life, and God will take care of you. You want to prosper? Amen. I'll tell you how you do it. You make God number one in your life, and you keep God number one. Amen. Praise God. God will prosper you. You know, I had somebody that talked to me the other day, and this young man is going through all kind of stuff. He said, Brother Crosswhite, he said, I got a warrant. I got this. I got that. And he said, I owe probably about $30,000 worth of court fees and et cetera. And he said, man, there's no way I could pay him. And he said, I get a paycheck. And he said, when I get my paycheck, and he said, my paycheck is not enough to go around. My wife works and it's the same thing. He said, you know, he said, I got all these problems. I said, and how much is a carton of cigarettes? I said, man, you tell me you can't, but I see that you got a carton of cigarettes and you told me 3 weeks ago that you're ready to quit. And he said, but Pastor, I'm in trouble. And I asked him the next question. I said, I almost called his name, and I can't call his name. I said, do you pay your tithes? I can't afford to give anything to the church. Amen. You can't afford not to. Don't be a fool. Don't build your life on sand. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom, put it in action. Hey, friend, if you can't afford to pay anything, you ought to be able to afford to give to God what's God's. Amen. And when I started teaching this man the other day that, this man looked back and he said, surely God don't expect me to. I said, are you going to rob God? And I began to go, this young man, it was so naive. He really don't know the Bible well at all. But when I began to show him the Word of God, he said, man, I am messed up. I said, well, it's all because you have not laid into action the principle of doing what God has asked you to do or told you to do. There's some things you don't have to pray about. There's some things that God just says, you got to do those. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And he told me after, he said, well, you know, I need to pray about this. And my wife, you know, he told, I said, that's not something to pray about. I said, you get on the road, you don't have to pray. Well, should I drive 65 and a 55? No, you know better. I want to just tell somebody today in the Holy Ghost, God's waiting on you to make the move, to start putting some things in action. We've got to build upon wise foundations by obedience to the Word of God. Relationship, your relationship in this world needs to be marked by grace and discernment. Amen. You need to judge rightly, love enemies, forgive others. Amen. Hey, friend, beware of every false thing. And I had one man tell me, he said, well, you know, we give to Jimmy Swaggart. Yeah. We give to Jimmy Swaggart. You know what I told him? I said, Jimmy ain't going to come and pray for you in the hospital. Jimmy ain't going to drive to Nacogdoches and come to Memorial Hospital to pray for your wife when she's there. Jimmy ain't going to come preach your funeral because you gave every month $25 like you told me. And I said, man, you got your priorities wrong. We need to build upon the rock, friend. Amen. Are you thankful for the foundation that's going to last? An everlasting foundation to build on. Amen. God's not going to do you wrong today. I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost, God will never fail you. God will never do you wrong when you do the right things. When you build upon the principles of righteousness, God will stand with you. Let's talk about this. Jesus also, when he talks about spiritual fruit, we need to look for spiritual fruit, not spiritual talk. There's a lot of people that have spiritual talk, but they have no spiritual walk. Huh. There's a lot of people got a lot of huff and a puff, but they have no spiritual relationship with God. Man, there's some people couldn't pray themselves out of a wet paper bag. It's because they have no walk with God. The results is going to be either strength or shattering. When you obey, he taught them, the Bible says, as one having authority. His word carried weight. Jesus didn't offer suggestions, but he commands with authority. Amen. His word is not the holy suggestion. His word is the holy writ, the holy authority, the holy commandment. Amen. Oh, friend, we need to get on board with God. Amen. His word will carry weight. Jesus is there to stand with his word when the storm comes in. I'm glad that when your life is built upon the rock of ages, amen, when every time you feel lonely and by yourself and nobody else is standing, I have a God that will stand with you in the time of the storm. When the rains came down and beat vehemently upon your life. Hang on, friend. You've got a God that will keep standing with you. You ought to give the Lord a hand of praise today for him. Woo. He's never failed us. Never will he fail you. Storms will test. The storms didn't discriminate. Because they had a house on the rock and a house, it didn't discriminate. Same storm hits both buildings. Job, what were you doing wrong to have such an extreme test? Job wasn't doing anything wrong. He was doing right. In fact, the Lord suggested, have you tried my man Job? Woo, hallelujah. I'm glad that through Job's, all his trials and storms, that had a God of heaven that stood with Job. And I love what Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Have you ever been there where the Lord took away? Amen. But God, amen, was with you in that time where you had nothing. Amen. How many has ever been to that place? Amen. That you were dry. Your life, your provisions were down to nothing. Or maybe you were facing cancer or facing something in your life and you had nothing to lean on but God. Amen. Doctors told you this. Things told you this. Your pocketbook told you this. But are you thankful for the goodness and the work of God? Amen. Amen. Somebody ought to lift their hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You've never failed. Thank you, Jesus. You've been there. Come on. He'll stand with you when you stand with him. Hallelujah. Built to last. Your life has to be built to last. Storms just don't discriminate. Only the obedient, the doer, will endure. My question today, are you a hearer and a doer? Or are you just one that, I hear what you're saying. Don't be just a hearer. Next thing I want to just point out, it's not how high you build, but it's how dig you deep. How deep you dig. How deep you dig. Man, that Cajun gets a hold of me. Throw the cow on the fence some hay. How deep you dig. It's not how high you build. The Bible says whenever the wise man built, he dug deep. Foundation matters. That's how deep you dig your spiritual relationship. My old pastor made a statement when I was a kid, and I was gracious enough to one day hear it on a cassette tape years later. And I had written it in my Bible, and I found that very statement, and I can't find that cassette tape anymore. But, and he said, God feeds according to your appetite. If you got a spoonful appetite, that's what you're going to get. But he said, if you got a barrel load of an appetite, God will feed you according to your appetite. Saint of God, I'm so thankful for the goodness of the Lord today. You dig deep. Enhance your relationship. Enhance your appetite, your desires for the things of God. Our senior saints had a little wonderful meeting yesterday. Senior saints, if you wasn't here, I just want to encourage you. Amen. They gathered in. And I had a privilege just to pop in to greet them. And this was my words yesterday. There's people that work on a job for many years for a certain company or something, and it comes right before retirement. There's a big problem when somebody's been an employee for a certain corporation for years. When it gets right before time of retirement, they just ride the clock. They just ride the clock. They're not putting out anything. They're just there. They know that they're not going to fire me. I've been here for 38 years. And they've been here all these years, and they think, you know, I'll ride the clock. I won't put out because I'm fixing to retire. In the kingdom of God, we don't just ride the clock. Amen. There's some people say, well, I've been in church 50 years. You don't ride the clock. Riding the clock don't win the race. You got to finish your course. So if you're 79 years old, that don't mean you sit back and say, well, I'll just ride the clock. You know, No. You still got a race to run. Don't let your latter years get to the place that you get lazy spiritually. We need to put it in action and run the race that is set before us and make it, friend. God is looking for somebody, amen, to be his people all the way to the finish line and run the race. Amen. Well, we pick on older people. Let's pick on everybody. Amen. It's time for all of us to get in the race and stay in the race. Amen. Obedience is what anchors your life. Amen. Don't admire the Sermon on the Mount. We need to live it. Amen. The will of God is to do his will. Amen. I said the will of God is for you to do his will. Let your life be built to last. God don't want something that's just whatever. Amen. It's a friend of mine had a lawnmower. And it was one of those riding lawnmowers, wasn't a zero turn, and the steering wheel, inside the steering column is a little star-looking apparatus that you screw in. And when he bought the lawnmower lasted, but one day he went to turn the steering wheel and it wouldn't turn. And he's mowing and he hit a tree. And he took it to the place and they fixed it. And the guy said, this is what it needed. He said, these things tear up real easy. After about 2 months later, same thing happened. He took it back and he said, hey, that little part broke again, sheared. And the guy ordered him another one. It lasted maybe 4 months. It was almost the end of the season, and it sheared again. And he went back and he said, man, this is crazy. He said, where are you ordering these parts? He said, don't they make a stronger one? He said, listen, our part system now, everything is made overseas in, China. And he said, it's thinner alloy. It's probably this little light thing. The guy said, is there any of them? He said, I've never had this problem before. He said, because the parts are flimsy and are quickly made and they're not durable and reliable. He said, you get them cheap, but cheaper is not better. Cheaper is not going to be the thing. Yet you think, oh, cheaper means and cheaper ways. Cheaper is not going to get it there. God is looking for something that has a value to it. I don't want a cheaper route. I don't want a cheaper relationship with God. I want something that will last in the storms of life. Something that will carry me all the way. God's not looking for something that just to give you that's just going to satisfy you. Pacify you, but he wants something to keep your life. Amen. Hear these sayings of mine and do them, he said. Do them, and your life will be on the rock. The wise man built his house on the rock because he was a doer of the things of God. He was a hearer, but not only did he hear, but he put into action the things of godliness. Righteousness. He put it all in his life. Amen. Brother Marty Ballesterra, great man. Known him all my life. Brother Ballesterra said when he was a teenager, raised in a preacher's home, my grandparents was in the ministry. He said there was a day that he and his teenage friends in the neighborhood seen a car sitting there. And he said, why don't we steal this car, take it for a joyride, and just bring it back? Brother Ballesterra said, they made a little deal. Brother Ballesterra said, I'll get in the steering, in the driver's seat. You guys give me a push. It was a hill there. You push the car, and he said, I'll pop the clutch. That's back in the days before automatics. He said, I'll pop the clutch, and I'll meet you at the bottom of the hill. We'll go for a joyride and we'll bring the car back. Nobody will know it. Brother Ballesterra said, first time ever to steal a car, and I ought to thought when the steering wheel went there, they had a pair of vice grips there for the steering wheel. He said, I ought to knew better. He said, I gave the nod to my friends, a thumb up, and they gave the car a push, and downhill I began to go. And he said, I popped the clutch, but when I go to pop the clutch, he said, there was nothing under there. And he said, I tried and I tried. And he said, finally, we got the car stopped after crashing into a tree, the bottom of the hill. And he said, one of my friends raised the hood, and there wasn't even an engine underneath it. I come to tell you, the enemy wants you to focus on your form. He wants you to look at your outside and the outside of everything else and worry about that. It's not the outside. It's what's under the hood that matters. Hear me, friend. God is looking for somebody under the hood of their heart and their mind to have a relationship. He said, you want something to last, you better build. Amen. Not when everybody's looking. You need to build when not when everybody's admiring you. You need to build in that sacred
sacred, secret time with God and put some things in your life. Hear me, the word of God still matters. I'm going to tell you, the word of God still matters today. The grass may wither, the flower may fade, but the word of God will stand forever. You got to have it in your life. Put it under your hood. This is going to be the engine that'll keep you. It'll get you there to the other side. We can't bypass the way of God. We can't bypass the word of God. And we definitely can't bypass the God of the word. He will never leave you. Never forsake you. Build your life to last. Forever and ever with God. Hallelujah. Wise men built his house on the rock. Foolish man. Let me say that word, foolish man. Say it with me, foolish man. You know, I don't want you to just say foolish man, but I want you to shake your head and say, foolish man. Come on, emphasize, foolish man. Put a little bit more emphasis, foolish man. You know, every time I hear that word, foolish, I remember where Jesus said, thou fool, thy soul is required of thee. You built your barns. You built bigger. But your soul was not ready. Foolish man, foolish man, built his house on the sand. He heard, but he didn't do. Hallelujah. Lift your hands with me this morning. Amen. Would you lift your hands to the Almighty God? I want you to pray for you this morning. Lord, help me today, God, to get my heart in action. Lord, my heart in, God, that building mode. Help me, Lord Jesus, to apply what you have spoke to our hearts, God. Lord, we know better, God, but help us to do better. Help us to live better, God. Help us to better our soul, our eternity, by relationship with you, Jesus. I thank you, God. Help me, God, to build. Help me to be a wise individual who puts into action the things of your kingdom. Stand with me in this place. Let your life be built to last. Today you could take this as just a sermon. Or you could take it as a message. When Jesus brought the Sermon on the Mount, he set them down. He taught them. And then the last part of chapter 7. He again reemphasized, he taught those things. The difference between just somebody getting up and just giving instructions and giving a lecture is when Jesus teaches. When he taught all the Beatitudes and all the different things in Matthew 5 to Matthew 7, he set them down and he taught them. Taught them. It's kind of like that little classroom I had when I was just a young man. And that teacher wrote on that chalkboard and he began to teach me. He wrote some things there, taught, emphasized it. It's kind of like my parents teaching me. There's only one God, but him only shall you serve. There's a difference with them informing. There's a difference than just instructing. But when you taught something, you teach somebody a code, how to get in a certain door or a safe. You teach them, this is how you do it. This is where you go. This is what you put in. After a while, you get it. They got it, but they didn't do it. And the house on the sand was a result of somebody that got the message but didn't apply it, who never took the time to build upon those principles. My God, eternity really matters today. Hallelujah. If it's appropriate for you to pray with that person near you right now, if it's your wife, whatever, friend, I want you to reach over and pray with them today. Amen. Or go to somebody today near you if it's appropriate. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to pray with me today, God. Help us, God, to take it to heart. Help us to put it in action. Help your word to be something that matters to us. God, I pray for that in my life. Let me be obedient, not just to hear. God, let me use the key of obedience. Hallelujah. Not just to comply for the moment, but Lord, to obey, to build upon that obedience, to build upon the principles of your righteousness. Hallelujah. God, teach us. Help us, Lord. Come on, would you pray for that person? Their eternity matters. Your eternity matters, Lord. Help us to build. Help us to live. Help us to be. Help us, oh God, to consider the things of righteousness in our life. We give you praise and we thank you today for your word. Hallelujah.
Help me to run farther. Go
deeper.
Deeper. Climb higher than I've ever been before. Help me to
everything in me, Jesus.
My heart.
Hallelujah.
Here I am.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I want to know more.
I want to ask our men to come up first. I want you to come stand to the front. If there's an hour where our men need to be men, it's right now. When I say men being men, that don't mean men just being a male. There's a lot of males out there that are not men by integrity. God's looking for men to be men. You know what a man really is? A man that makes up their mind, I'm going to stand. The word man and stand has a similitude to it. God's looking for men. He's looking for a man to fill in the gap. A man to stand their ground and build upon a solid foundation by doing. Hallelujah. Will you stretch your hands, and I want you to pray for these men with me right now. Lord Jesus, every man, God, let the holy power of the Holy Ghost, God be in their soul, their appetite. Lord Jesus, let it be for the things of righteousness and peace and joy, God. I pray for the grace and the mercies of the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. God, put it in our men to be soldiers and warriors, God. Hallelujah. God, make them warriors. Make our young men warriors. Make our old men warriors. Make our younger men warriors, God. Make the in-between warriors. God, we just need to be men for you, Lord, men of God. Lord, like David was a man after your heart, Lord, let it be that these men, God, would be after your heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that. Men after your heart, Jesus. Hallelujah. Men after your heart, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want our sisters to come, our ladies to come. Amen. I want you to gather around here, around this area, close to the front platform, in between the altar and the platform, if you can. Amen. I want you to come. We're going to pray right now for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I feel this morning somebody in this place. Amen. Your life. Amen. The storm. Amen. Oh, when it comes, I want your life to stand. I want your life to make it. I want your life to be that witness against the storm of time. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Ladies, I want you to pray for you right now. I want you to pray for yourself. God, help me today, God. Amen. Every sister right now, would you just lift your voice? I want you to pray for strength right now in your life to stand. Lord, help me to stand. Help me to be what you called me to be, God. Let me not be a waste. Let me not be one that just goes splat under the pressures of the flood and the rain, oh God. But help my soul, Lord Jesus, to make it. Help my life to continue to stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody today about your life. Hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody about your life. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, have your way right now, God. Come on, let the Surgeon General, God of heaven, right now reach inside. Amen. Spirit, we're back at the spirit of condemnation right now. Spirit of condemnation is a thief. He's a robber. Amen. There's something that's held you back from just giving it to God. If there's condemnation deep rooted inside, I want you to pray against it. Lord, help me to get rid of condemnation. You died for this. You pay the price for me. Hallelujah. God, I don't have to live bound, imprisoned in my mind to guilt and to shame and to condemnation. Hallelujah. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God, help me to walk after your Spirit. Help me to reach to your Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you pray for you right now, Lord? Help me, God, to live. Help me to be what you called me to be, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to run. Amen.
Help me to run, Father.
Hallelujah. Go deeper,
climb higher than I ever did before. Help me to do my part with all my heart. Here I am.
Yes, God.
Lord, I want.
There's something you need to repent of. Won't you do it right now while you got an opportunity? There's something you need to lay at the feet of Jesus. Go ahead and do it. Come on, something that's hanging, holding you back. Would you lay it at the feet of Jesus this morning? Lay it before the Lord this morning. I'd ever done before.
Help me to do my part.
Holy Ghost, have your way.
My heart,
I'm going to give it to the Lord this morning.
Lord, I want to know.
Lord, let me lay it at your feet, God. Let me give it to you. Your name, Jesus.
Help me to run, Father.
Go deeper. Climb higher than I ever did before.
Parts
with all my heart.
Here I am. Lord, I want to know more.
Sing it again. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus.
Help me to run, Father.
Come on, pray that.
Go deeper. Climb higher than I've ever been.
Than I ever done before.
Help me to
do my part with all my heart. Here I am.
Lord, I want to know more.
Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask this today respectfully. If there's somebody that needs your church to pray with you right now, to gather around you and just pray with you, I want you to just come to the front and say, Pastor, church family, I need strength right now in my life. I don't want to omit, overlook somebody that's, amen, maybe you're already in a storm and you need the help of grace, the helping grace of God. Amen. Anybody else that wants to come step and say, Pastor, I need something right now. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 See, you just never know. You just never know, saint. Hallelujah. Would you gather and help me pray with these right now? Holy Ghost and fire, would you, Lord, right now? Let the the beauty of your spirit, minister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me? Come on. This could be their service right now. This could be that day. Hallelujah. Where the chains were broken, the yoke is destroyed. Hallelujah.
I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He's been a friend who's there in time of need. He is my strong.
Let the Holy Ghost minister right now. Let the flood of the Holy Ghost.
I can trust Jesus, for he takes care of me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. Time.